Hello and welcome to, wait, what podcast? The Way Family Podcast. Oh my. So it's been a while since we've done a podcast. So long that, well, I don't know, a million things have changed. We've probably had a million arguments, which is what we're going to be talking about today. The top three reasons why we get in an argument, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, who I have told you this today, but I do love you and appreciate you.
Okay. I love you too.
And we are, oh my gosh. Is this intro always this long?
It's too long.
We need a new intro.
And then the kids cheer forever, yeah, and then there's the noises forever.
Yeah. We need a new intro song. We are not, we're not that fun anymore. So let's have a more serious intro song.
No.
Maybe just a shorter Funky Town. I don't even know if I can dance for that long because my energy is sucked dry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, what we're going to be talking about today is the top three reasons we get in an argument. And but before we do that, we're just going to recap because it's been a while since we've done a podcast episode because we have a 5.5-year-old, an almost 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old now.
Yep, we do.
And
kids are growing.
Yeah. And we are now recording in our closet, which was our youngest's, Finley's, room before. So now we actually have a quiet place in our house, which is very nice. And Finley sleeping through the night. What else has changed? Homeschooling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's changed. I feel like the last time we recorded was like at the beginning of quarantine or, yeah. So like a lot has changed, but also I don't remember what we told you yet. Anyways, yeah, homeschooling. We're doing homeschooling and Forrest has 2 days of Zoom school, but it's not on Zoom, of course. That would be too easy. It's on a different app.
It's
not even an app. It doesn't work on the iPad. It's just, yeah.
Imagine if the DMV built an app for learning. For distance learning.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is.
Good intentions, but it is just kind of a hassle. But that has been, I make jokes because it's overwhelming for me. So it's funner. It's more fun to make jokes than to just be overwhelmed by it. But it's very overwhelming for me. And I feel like, most of the day, most of the time.
Especially because we're still trying to work out a schedule that works.
And both of us have work to do and then there's other kids and yeah. So that's hard, but that happened. Finley turned 1. Both me and Zach turned 30. Forrest broke his collarbone.
Oh yeah, Forrest broke his collarbone.
I got sciatica really bad and I thought my back was broken, but it wasn't.
I started to get oral thrush again from stress.
Just all our health issues.
And I fought it off with probiotics and apple cider vinegar.
Yep. I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, I made to platinum in my business, which I feel like we've done a podcast since then, didn't we?
Nope.
Oh, well, made it to platinum, which, that doesn't mean anything to you if you're not in the Young Living world, but that's a kind of big deal. It's like a promotion.
I started a podcast, another podcast called This Is The Way, which was a daily podcast, and then that was way too much, so now it's a weekly podcast. And I also am running a podcast for someone else. My friend Alex Judd, it's called Path for Growth. So that's what I've been up to and then work.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. But anyways, let's hop into the main topic here. So Hannah and I have been getting in arguments because we just hate each other. No.
My gosh.
That was a joke. You're like yawning. You're really not into it. So
I'm sorry.
It takes a while
to jump back in.
My humor is. I know you understand my humor.
It's just like annoying right now.
Oh my gosh!
Should add that to the list. Another reason we get in an argument. We are annoyed.
Zach's humor is annoying.
No, not just you. You get annoyed at me.
Yeah, that is true. No, we get in arguments because we're comfortable enough to get in arguments. I remember we had friends who were like somewhere in their first year of marriage and they said, yeah, it's awesome. We haven't even gotten in an argument. And I was thinking, oh boy, that's going to be a big first argument.
Yeah.
Whereas Hannah and I, we could just argue about anything.
Well, we were also dating for freaking 5 years before we got married. So we were like very good at arguing by the time we got married. And then, I mean, it is a lot different when you're married and you're arguing than when you're just dating and you're arguing, because there's different stuff you got to care about. But
yeah. Well, I feel like this is good to do an episode on it because it helps us to kind of think about what are the main reasons that we get into arguments and how can we kind of prevent those. So the first reason that we get into arguments is miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
So give me an example of that.
Like last night I asked, hey, so you have the day off tomorrow, right? Because I didn't know. He didn't say anything to me. And he's like, yes. And I was like, oh, so you're not working. And he's like, no, I am working. And then I was like, okay. And then I was like kind of annoyed because I also had work to do. So I'm thinking, okay, it's his day off and he's just going to work by himself and do his work. And I'm going to still have to be stuck here with the kids trying to get my work done while he's off gallivanting and doing his work however he wants to. And yeah, it was kind of a miscommunication, but also kind of not. But yeah, it was miscommunicated because I didn't know. He meant that he had a couple hours of work to do.
It was miscommunication on both sides. I said, I don't have work, but I have to do some work.
You did not say some. You said, but I am working.
But I am, yes.
And so I was thinking, okay, so he's going to be at home working, which means basically he's not here because we can't bother him when he's working because he's got stuff to do. So I was frustrated because it was a day off and he just, I thought he just like automatically assumed that the whole day was his to do whatever he wanted. And I was annoyed because I also had things I wanted to do and needed to do. And I just haven't had a ton of time to do any work lately because of Finley's nap schedule and homeschool, all the things. So I was mad. I was frustrated.
Yeah. And then we gotten into a nice hefty argument that was all based on a miscommunication.
No, I think there was some other issues under there too, but it started because of a miscommunication.
And I wasn't clear in what I said, so that aided in the miscommunication, but then you also interpreted it in a way that, or heard it in a different way. So it was, I miscommunicated what I said and you didn't hear it right.
I heard what you said. It just wasn't what you meant.
Because
you did not communicate clearly.
There's also times when we miscommunicate and it's something is clear in the way that it is communicated, but it is not interpreted correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Or like you say something and you think you're being clear and then they understood it a totally different way.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think a good way for that to be dealt with is maybe we could repeat what we heard.
So what I'm hearing you say is...
Even
you're working
though...
all day tomorrow and you don't care about me at all. Is that right?
Even though you don't have work, you are choosing to work and you're going to leave me alone at home with the kids and ignore all of your fatherly responsibilities.
That is not, it has nothing to do with fatherly responsibilities. It had to do with the fact that I also had things I wanted to do. And I thought that you were just like not even taking into account, like Like, you weren't placing any importance on my time. It was only, like, your time to do whatever you wanted or whatever you needed. So it wasn't about you shirking your fatherly responsibilities at all, because that's not ever been a thing that I've been worried about. It was my time. I felt like my time wasn't being respected or even thought of.
Mm. So we can miscommunicate with what we say, and we can miscommunicate with what we hear. And there's a third type of miscommunication, is you're just not speaking the same language. And this happens with our love languages. This happens mm-hmm. with the words that we use, maybe mean different things.
Yes, like an example. When I am telling Zach where to go, when I'm getting directions for him and I'm telling him where to go, I'll say, get off at the next exit. And by that, I mean the next exit we come to. But he, I've come to learn, thinks that it means not this one, but the next one. And so I'm like, huh, why aren't you getting off here? And he's like, you said the next exit. I'm like, this was the next exit. So even just little things like that.
Yeah, when you're not speaking the same language, it's real easy to miscommunicate. And so my love language is acts of service, and Hannah's love language is quality time. And so,
and words of affirmation, I think.
I think maybe that's a recent thing.
I don't know. I also thought it was gifts for a while. I like gifts, I like nice words, and I like quality time.
I like all of the things. Uh-huh. Just shower me with love.
Please.
24/7. Anyway, I don't care.
Shut up.
And so how have we miscommunicated by speaking different languages? I just learned that there's a different language for clutter.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about something else.
Oh, what? What did you think when I was going to talk about?
When I told you that you never asked me how I'm doing, you're like, I literally ask you how you're doing every single day. I'm like, uh-uh, you have not asked me how I'm doing in years. And you're like, I asked you, how was your day?
That's an overreaction.
Every single day. And I was like, that is not the same thing. Like, how was your day was how was your day, and how are you doing is different. It could be separate from how my day was. It's like so different. But even that, just that little thing.
If someone close to me asks, how was my day, I'm going to tell them how I'm doing.
Well, now I know.
Yeah. So.
But I still want you to ask, how are you doing?
Yeah. Well, man. Okay. So I was trying to think of how I can squeeze this little book in here, this little recommendation. I guess I'll just save it for the end. We'll move on. But I just learned there is different ways to deal with clutter, and that's a whole different ballgame. That's not even the same language, I guess. Second reason.
Oh, we're moving on.
Oh, well, unless you have anything else.
Oh, no, I was sitting getting ready for the clutter talk, but.
No, I said I'll save it for recommendations.
Okay. Okay, move on.
What's the second reason that we get into arguments?
Unmet expectations.
And what does that mean?
Means when you're expecting something of the other person and they don't do it, or it doesn't live up to what you were expecting or what you'd wanted.
So you were expecting that I would ask you how you are doing.
No, I wasn't expecting that, because that's just not a question you really ask.
Oh.
So I was not expecting that, but I was wanting that.
Oh, okay.
So I guess it could be considered an unmet expectation, because it was something that I was wanting, but I'd never said that. So I was never expecting you to do that.
Well, I think that that's part of the unmet expectations, is they're unmet expectations are often unspoken expectations.
Uh-huh.
It's like, man, I really wish that this person would do this thing, but then you never tell them mm-hmm. that you want that thing done.
I do that all the time.
I have told you for years and years and years, I cannot read your mind. Just tell me. How can I help you?
Yeah, I know.
Just tell me what you want. What you really, 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 really want.
Okay.
What are some more unmet expectations?
Wait, what do you mean?
What are some of our recent unmet expectations?
I don't even know. You have a lot of expectations. I will just say that. And you speak them for the most part. So it's difficult to live up to all of your expectations. But you have a lot of expectations for like the house and like the kids putting away their toys and stuff like that, because acts of service is your love language and messes stress you out. So we have a lot of expectations about that. And I mean, it's easy for those to be unmet because there's a lot of them. But I don't know. For me, I don't even know what my expectations would be, but I know that you don't meet them because I get frustrated. But I don't voice it. That's the thing. Because this kind of is going with our third point, but I don't like to make a big deal out of everything. I would rather just keep the peace than like be nagging about something. Or, you know, if something bothers me, I would rather just like let it roll off my shoulders or whatever. Whatever the thing is. Roll off your shoulders.
You know, I actually call it saving up ammo, but you can call it whatever you want.
I mean, it's not all of it is ammo. It's like the big things get saved up for ammo. Or maybe it's like not the right time to have a fight about this. And so I save it and then we never bring it up again until it gets brought up in a big way. Or I don't save everything. I just like I let a lot of things roll off my back because I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want to have a fight, or it's not the right time to have an argument or whatever. There's lots of reasons. I mean, it's probably lots of excuses I tell myself. And it's just comfier to not have fights, I guess. I don't know. So some of them do get saved up and then unpurposefully become ammo in our next fight.
You know, there's a quote I heard that unmet expectations are front-loaded resentment.
Ooh, wait, I don't really get that.
When you don't speak your expectations, but you still hold them and have them, but you just don't share them, then you are setting yourself up to resent someone in the future.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Because you have kind of set this internal quality standard and then not shared that quality standard with other people. And when they don't meet it, you are frustrated at them for not meeting your silent standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, that causes a lot of problems. I think that in my family, there's a lot of that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too.
And so I really, really don't like that. So I always, I fall to the other side of the spectrum where I let all of my expectations be known.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are also, I think that this is kind of where the rub is with you, is you are made aware of the times that you fall short of my expectations on a reoccurring basis.
All the time. I'm always made aware of it.
But I am not made aware of yours.
Not every time.
Until it's a big deal.
No, but let me just point this out. Last night, when I brought that up and I said, I think you were not considering my time and that was frustrating to me, you got very defensive. And it's almost like you're not used to me saying like, hey, I didn't like this or whatever, because I don't do that often. Because a lot of the times, like stuff like that, I will decide it doesn't bother me and I will move on for the most part, not all the time. But like when I do say something, it's difficult for you to, I don't know, to like handle it, I guess. And you get defensive. And so that often makes me not want to say stuff like that. When I feel like you have a very free range to share when your expectations aren't met, I would like that same free range. And I am working on speaking up more about things like this. That free range, I think, is necessary for both parties involved. When you realize they're just voicing an expectation, or they're just voicing something that was not met, or something that hurt them, or something like that.
I can understand that. I need to get better at receiving your unmet expectations and responding to it appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But the
yes, I you think, do. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I think that no, I really I do.
Yeah, because you do.
You don't share it enough, mm-hmm. and so I and
it's like you don't have practice with it.
Yeah, and typically when you do, it's been building up, and so there's emotion behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That is not only these are what my expectations are and you haven't met them, but I'm disappointed and frustrated and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, like, because I bring it up so often, and it's not like I'm trying to say, Hannah, you suck at this and you suck at this and you suck at this. It's just that
when it's over and over and over again, it is difficult.
I will try to find a way.
He's holding my shoulder right now.
to bring it up so often.
No, that's not even the thing. I think that it's like, okay, here's something that we're working on. So that when, okay, the criticism would be a lot easier to take, and not even criticism, just like when he says, hey, I thought you were going to do this and you didn't do it, or hey, you did this and I didn't like it, or whatever. Those things, so it's not even criticism, it's just like unmet expectations, let's just call it that. When those would be a lot easier to take if there wasn't a even balance of like the other like positive things.
Yeah. And I generally suck at giving compliments.
Yes,
so
but that's something that we're working on.
Yeah.
So like I'm working on not getting so defensive when those things come up, and he's working on giving more affirmation and yeah. stuff like that.
And I've heard what like all the psychologists say is to you shouldn't, you know, give your you shouldn't engage in conflict before you have done something to like offset it, basically. And but that just seems like fake to me. It's
yeah,
like
that is
you
fake.
Want me to give you a compliment so then I can give the conflict and then I can give you another conflict. That is the definition of a crap sandwich.
No, just get in the habit of giving affirmations regularly when yeah. you see something good. And I need to do that too. When you see something good or when you see something that you're proud of or whatever, then say those things also, and then like it'll balance out the criticisms that also need to take place, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, one thing that I don't remember what book this was, I've been like racking my brain this whole time trying to remember what book this was, but it was like I laughed because it was cheesy, but it when we did it, it worked. They said that to help with miscommunication, they say if they're like in an argument or something, or even just something that they're bringing up, they'll say permission to read your mind. So like, let's say like, this is how the situation would have gone better last night when we had our conversation about Zach being off of work today. I should have said permission to read your mind. And he would have to say permission granted. And then I would say, you have the day planned out tomorrow and you are going to do work all day. Is that right? Am I getting that right? And then he will have the opportunity to say yes or no or whatever it is. And then
that was from a podcast from Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and then he could say the same thing back and he could say, you are permission to read your mind. You are worried that I'm not taking into account your time and you want me to factor you in or whatever it might be. And then I could say, yes, that's exactly it. And then it's like a way easier way to go about it. But obviously you don't think about that in the moment. But I thought that was really interesting because you're already anticipating
that you're wrong.
A way. Yeah, you're anticipating that you're wrong. You're saying, I think I can read your mind, but I know that I can't. So this is what I'm thinking that you're thinking. And you have the chance to tell me if I'm wrong right now. And I probably am. So, and it's just kind of cheesy. So I feel like it could also like help offset any like big angry emotions or whatever, because yeah. a little comedic relief, you know?
Yeah. So what I was going to say with the unmet expectations is I am really good at bringing up my expectations on a reoccurring basis. So I know that I need to work on the affirmation side of things. But one of the other side, in addition to unspoken expectations, is a lack of communication contributes to unmet expectations.
A lack of what?
A lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe your expectations are just too high.
Me?
No. Everyone.
Oh.
I'm just saying, it's a possibility that your expectations are unrealistic.
Yeah, that's true.
And that you have a lack of understanding of what is actually happening and or attainable. So if you're getting into an argument on a reoccurring basis over unmet expectations, it's...
Like the car.
Like the car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The car is messy. We have three kids. We have a baby that screams if she does not have a snack in her hand at all times, or if it's the wrong snack. And Zach gets very stressed out when it is messy in our car. And it is. It's very often messy in our car because we have snacks in there and we have stuff. And I don't have all the arms to carry things in. And I forget stuff. And I leave things in the cup holders. And
I spill. All the holders.
I spill a lot. I am a very, like, spilly person. And I'm very clumsy. And I forget things. So that is like a reoccurring fight of ours because, well, it hasn't been lately, but.
Because I make Forrest vacuum out the car every Saturday.
I know. But I have been trying extra hard. Before we're going to be in the car, I'm like, okay, we're all going in the car, going to go out there and check really quick, see if there's any trash I left, any like giant messes I can clean up, any extra sweatshirts or anything in there on the floor. And I try to like clean up a little bit because it's not, I don't think of it when I'm just trying to get all of the kids inside or whatever. Like that's not the time for me to remember to clean all the messes. So I try to do it before we're going to go in the car.
Yeah.
But that is a reoccurring one, but maybe you shifted your expectations a little bit.
Sometimes, you know, a good friend of mine is always just telling me he's a 9 and I'm an 8. Just lower your expectations. Set the bare minimum. If you have the lowest expectations possible, the bar is so low you can walk over it and you will never be disappointed.
That is true. I always set very low expectations when I'm taking all three of the kids anywhere. I set very low expectations. I expect that it's going to be a little hairy and a little stressful. And then usually it ends up being fine because my expectations weren't unmet. You know, I wasn't like disappointed by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's just recap. The top reason that we get into an argument is miscommunication, and that is either what we said or what we heard, or we are speaking a different language.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason we typically get into an argument is unmet expectations, and that is either because of unspoken expectations or a lack of understanding. And the third reason that we get into an argument is typically a
lack of healthy conflict, which I didn't make that up. I was saying what I thought this third point should be was when I hold all the things in. And then
I think that is part of having healthy conflict.
Yeah, probably.
So,
but that wasn't my wording is what I was saying. Yeah. That was your wording.
So a lack of healthy conflict is, in my opinion, I don't have a problem with conflict, really. I might be a little too comfortable with it. But there's two quotes that have been coming to mind as we've been going over this. First, we've said it a lot of times on this podcast, but conflict is the price that we pay for a deeper level of intimacy. And every once in a while, especially when I am hanging out with friends, I'll just throw some like conflict bombs out there just to test the waters to see, can we really be like close friends? Because if we aren't going to be close friends, like it's not really worth my time. And, you know, I would like to know right now. So I'm just testing the waters. So I don't really have a problem with conflict. Healthy conflict, though, is different than just general conflict. And I think that there's two, Hannah and I are on two different sides of healthy conflict. I have conflict vomit, where I'm just like, I just dish it out. And it's not even like, I don't get mad about it.
Hmm. I mean, not all the time.
There is generally zero emotion behind it. It's just, hey, this didn't happen. I thought it was supposed to happen. Why didn't it happen? But Hannah's on.
It doesn't seem like that a lot of time. It doesn't seem like zero emotion. It seems like very annoyed a lot of the time.
Maybe. I could understand how it might seem that way, but you're wrong.
Great.
Hannah's on the other side of the coin here, and she has a problem holding it all in.
No, I'm very good at holding it all in. I don't have a problem with it.
No, your problem is that you hold it all in.
Yeah.
So,
because I tell myself, this is not that big of a deal. It's not worth causing a fight. I don't want to make him feel bad or whatever. Whatever it is, I always tell myself different things. And a lot of the time, it's good that I just let it go. You know, like, it's good. But sometimes it's not.
What's an example of something recently that you've held in?
Well, you want me to say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
You've been real snippy lately. And it was like a good week and a half that you were just not talking very nice to me or the kids. And I held it in for a while. And then I said, what is going on? Why are you talking like this? Why are you so annoyed with everyone all the time? But there, it's usually like small, like, I mean, I wouldn't say that's a small thing, but it's just like a lot of the times it's like the way you say something or like a fight that we didn't resolve and you don't remember it. So we don't talk about it later. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to fight all over again. Stuff like that. But I feel very uncomfortable when there is something unresolved. Like in the last couple of years, I feel very uncomfortable when we haven't resolved like a fight, when we haven't come to an understanding. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been having a lot of those fights where we're like not coming to that understanding. And then like the day is over and we go to bed and nothing's fixed. And that is stressful. So I feel like I'm growing in that because I don't like when it's uneasy like that. I'd rather have the conversation and talk about it and come to an understanding of some sort, even if it's not both of us getting what we want or whatever it is, but just like to have the understanding of like, okay, we're on the same side. We will work on this or whatever. So I really value that. And I also really value apologies when like someone has done something wrong. That's like really important to me. I think it was because I didn't really learn how to do that super well growing up.
Yeah. I should probably work on my apology game, huh? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I need to too. I think I could definitely be apologizing for things more often. But yeah.
I think that you want to like forgive and forget, but you don't forgive and you don't forget. It's like you forget until something gets brought up and then it's like, oh yeah, and this thing from a week and a half ago and this thing from a month ago
because it's
and
like
this thing
when
from 2 days
all
ago.
These things are when you're like piling on all these things, then it's like, okay, well, I have stuff too, I just don't say it all the time. And then it's even more frustrating because it's like not saying it creates like a divide between us. So then when I don't say it and then you keep saying it, then it's like the divide gets bigger and bigger. I don't know.
So you're saying like I am constantly piling conflict onto the table?
No, not conflict, like unmet expectations, or like you're saying you're bringing up something that I didn't do or I did do or something that hurt your feelings or whatever. Like I hold it in and that's creating a divide by holding it in, and then you pile it on. And I feel like that is like, I don't feel like that itself is creating the divide, but because I have not been saying what I have needed to say, it feels like that divide gets bigger.
Yeah, it feels like it's even larger.
Yeah. So if we were both doing it, then it would be fine, but it's difficult. I feel like if we both were saying every time an expectation was not met, I feel like we would be apologizing and fighting constantly. So I'm like,
well, what would you rather have? I mean, I would rather have just tell me what I'm doing wrong when I'm doing it wrong.
I think that if we can both get to an understanding where, like, we both have the freedom to say those things and for them to, you know, in general be met with, like, okay, understanding and trying to see your side of it here, that kind of an attitude, then I think that would be a lot more healthy.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. That's like what we need to work on.
Okay. We need to work on this.
Like our own therapy session here.
Yeah.
From ourselves.
This has been constructive. Thank you for joining us. And now
we've got a lot of work to do.
To go on a date.
We are actually.
Just a reminder, we are not experts in anything. In everything or anything.
And especially not this.
I might be an expert in conflict, but not healthy conflict. Not yet, at least. So, just a recap. The top three reasons we get into an argument is number one.
Oh, I was yawning. Miscommunication. What you said, what you heard, and if you're not speaking the same language.
And number two is unmet expectations. Either you have unspoken expectations and you haven't voiced them, or there is a lack of understanding and you maybe have either too many expectations or too high of expectations for the given circumstance. Number three is
lack of healthy conflict.
And that's either holding it in or having what I affectionately call, labeled myself as, a conflict vomiter. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Actually, we do have some recommendations. I have a recommendation at least, but we've got to get out on this date because our babysitter's already here. So, Hannah, do you have any recommendations?
No, I don't. No. I will next time though.
All right. My recommendation is a book called The Clutter Connection. It's how your personality type determines why you organize the way that you do. And I recently learned that there's four different types of clutter bugs, and Hannah is a butterfly, which fits,
yeah, I am,
so perfectly with a four. It is just like, it didn't ever enter my brain that there is different ways to organize things. And maybe that is Hannah and I not speaking the same language of organization. She thinks something is organized one way, and I would look at the same thing and say that is a pile of trash.
No, I don't. I don't think a pile of trash is organized. Like, don't throw me under the bus that much. My gosh.
Well, yeah. So, anyways, it's a good book, and it's been helpful. Another two books that I read recently is How to Break Up with Your Phone by Catherine Price, which has been, it's been really good to listen to. I've already done a lot of the things that she recommended on there, but I do think that it is good just to take a look at your phone and how much you use it and how much you need it, and try to distance yourself from that. The last recommendation that I have is 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now by Jaron Lanier. It was a really good book. He had some really good arguments, but him as a person, and specifically like two of the chapters, just went on weird random rants that had nothing to do related to the points that he was making. And it was just a little kind of frustrating. However, the arguments though were pretty good. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you for listening to us argue about the top three reasons why we get in arguments. And we will talk at you next time.
Bye.
Happy trails.